Hi, McCartney fans, and welcome to episode 116 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of the one and only Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and you may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles video cast. And as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, my backwards traveler. He is the one and only Andy Nichols. Andy, what is going on?
Good, Tom. Just hanging in here on another night, cold night in January, and happy and healthy, and hope you are too.
Thank you very much for that. I see record collection behind you is looking healthy.
always is. Yeah, once a week, I'll take my little Saturday stroll and go like everybody else out in this world and go buy records. Yeah.
Records. I love it. Yeah. I've been picking up a couple lately too. I think the waiting on a couple more McCartney 3 vinyls here. I know we got the McCartney 3 blue coming from the UK here soon.
Yeah.
So hopefully
Japanese CD. Yeah.
Japanese CD. I ordered that last.
You did. Good.
Two or three days ago. So.
And you got all your dice sets?
Yeah. So I got the three dice set up. I got the three dice and then the white CD. So, you know, I'll have that all set up. So I think I'm good on the CDs now. I probably will get a Coke bottle color vinyl. And then I think that'll do it. If I see an affordable Barnes & Noble's blue, maybe I'll pick that up as well.
Yeah.
But other than that, because I think it is sold out. I don't think they're selling that at stores anymore.
Oh, they're not.
I don't think they sold them at stores, period. I think they
strictly online.
Yeah, I think they sold them all online. I could be wrong on that, but I haven't been in the Barnes & Nobles for a while. The day it did come out, you know, I'm sure we'll touch upon this again next week when we have our guest on talking about McCartney 3 collecting. You know, I called Barnes & Noble up and asked them if they were going to get the blue, and they said the color, and they said yeah. So they put one on hold for me, so I went there, and it ended up being the black vinyl. So I don't know if they ever got any blue to keep in stock at stores or if it was just online only. So
yeah. And then in the news department, and this was a few weeks ago now, but Jerry Marsden passed away.
Yes, yeah, Jerry. That was sad. I mean, that's another link to the Beatles that is unfortunately gone now. I'm sure he had a ton of stories to tell.
Oh.
I know he did a few fests for Beatle fans throughout the last couple decades. You know, Kit, my co-host from Talk More Talk, she talked about meeting him a few years back at the Chicago Fest. So that was really cool. But I think he was a pretty good singer. You know, Jerry and the Pacemakers was very popular. I guess you could call them a friendly rivals of the Beatles because, I mean, they came out of the they came out blazing with three number ones in a row.
They certainly did, you know. And you know, George Martin was right. How Do You Do It was the number one.
That was their first number one. Yeah,
and their version of it is way better than the Beatles version.
Right? You think so?
I think Jerry's version has much. You know, the Beatles version on Anthology, they just did not want to do that song. You could tell.
Right.
But their version of it is tremendous. How Do You Do It? And you know, it's of course, you know, You'll Never Walk Alone from Carousel,
right,
being like the anthem of Liverpool.
Right.
Just a beacon of Merseyside, you know, has burned out, and just a true champion of the city. One who was always loyal to Liverpool through and through his whole life. Not that the Beatles weren't, and you know, the Beatles were very, very unfashionable in Liverpool for many, many, many years, and the city council really only honored them, began honoring them and recognizing them, and only after John passed. So, but Jerry was always there through and through. Cool. You know, with you know, with his loyalty. And it's just, you know, obviously having lived there and knowing a lot of people that have met him and saw him once briefly, occasionally from a distance, but just a great guy and just a great, you know, great band. And
right.
One of the first times I think a lot of people in this country probably saw him is if you've ever saw the 1982 film.
Right.
The Beatles. He's right. really on there. And I think outside of like knowing, you know, Ferry Cross the Mersey, it's right. probably how a lot of people first saw Jerry Marsden.
Absolutely. That was my introduction.
That's the introduction.
My introduction to Jerry. Absolutely.
And I'm, really, that's really that film right. was an introduction really.
Oh.
You know, for lots of people.
That
know.
Was my anthology in the mid to late 80s.
It was a know? Fantastic film. And and it holds up well because it was one that didn't have the Beatles stamp on it. They weren't involved mm-hmm. with it. So
right.
it had somebody else to, you know, and a lot of people feel that, you know, listen, the anthology is the canon because it's their story, but having mm-hmm. somebody else tell it without is always a little bit of a, and listen, that is a tremendous film and Jerry's on it. And so you've got a lot of early key people on that film too. Horst Fatcher's on that thing. Jerry, yeah.
Right,
Billy J. Kramer's on that thing that featured on that film. And it's funny, we're talking about films today. We're not going to be talking about Red Square, but right. you know, in Beatles films and Beatles lore, the complete Beatles is just a tremendous film.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Marianne Faithfull's on there as well.
Yep.
So a lot of great people are in that. And I like Jerry's segment when he's on there talking about Skiffle, you know.
Yeah,
and
playing
the
guitar.
It's really cool. Yeah.
It really explains
goodbye,
it.
Joe. We gotta go. That's
it. And that really that really probably educated a lot of people about that.
Clue what the hell Skiffle was. I mean, at that time, I mean, all I cared about was the music of the Beatles. So, I mean, he really filled a little bit of a void then, you know, for me learning about the Beatles and what they were listening to, prior and playing actually really prior to becoming, you know, what eventually became.
Yeah. So, you know, much missed. Rest in peace, Jerry.
Yeah. Here's to you. I'll tell you what. I know there's a lot of people that love, you know, How Do You Do It? And was it You'll Never Walk Alone? My personal favorite was Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying. That was my favorite. And then obviously Ferry Across the Mersey, you know, was a great one. But and it was also redone, at 89, 90?
In 89, it was redone again with Holly Johnson, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Paul and Jerry and a few other people that redid it for the Hillsborough disaster.
Right.
Which was obviously a very famous, a horrible, horrible accident of a crush of people at Hillsborough, between Liverpool and Hillsborough in 89. And Paul, you know, and Jerry and others contributed. They did a really, really great version, which raised a lot of money for charity for the 96 people that passed away.
I think it went to number one.
I think it did. And, you know, Jerry's on that recording as well as with Paul, which is nice having that two of them on a record.
Do you have it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 12-inch. I have a 12-inch copy.
Oh,
of
you do?
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I bought while I was over there. And that's a great version of that song. I mean, the original ones too. Other favorites of theirs is a song called I Like It. That's a good one. Pretend. And, you know, just a fixture of the Merseybeat scene. So,
cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Much missed. And Paul had a great little tribute to him on his pages.
Yes, that's true. That's true. In other news, we also got the three lyric videos for the last three songs from McCartney 3. So we got Deep Feeling, Seize the Day. And that was, I would say, like a week and a half ago. And then now we just got Sliding a couple days ago. Yeah. So thanks to Tom Brennan for making me aware of that, because because I've just been so busy, I haven't had a chance to go to McCartney YouTube channel lately, but thanks again for bringing that to our attention. So I think that about does it for the news. Today's show, as Andy said earlier, we're going to be talking about, we're going to revisit the Paul McCartney and Red Square DVD. This was a DVD that was released in 2005, and it pretty much just chronicled McCartney's two stops in Russia in 2003 and in 2004. So this was released June 14th of 2005. 5. And again, it records the show of the Moscow show that was recorded that took place on May 24th of 2003.
2003, yeah.
You're right. And then in St. Petersburg of June 20th of 2004. I mean, I remember getting this right away. Probably the same weekend it came out.
It was on TV first. I remember seeing it as a TV special.
Did you see
first.
It? Was it A&E or History?
A&E.
A&E? Okay.
A&E.
Got you. So, I don't recall seeing it on TV at the time. I was living in Chicago, I know, and didn't have cable really. You know, I was living in a box. I was poor. You know, but anyways, no, just kidding. So I watched it and pretty much forgot about it. It was pretty much a dust collector
we're gonna talk about that. Yeah. And a lot of these, unfortunately, Paul's films become dust collectors, concert films, because we're gonna get into it. But historical stuff aside, which is great. It's just, you know, it's a film that's all over the place.
Right. And, you
know,
so do you remember have you watched it since you bought it? Do you recall?
I watched it just in preparation for this episode to record with you.
But not since you've got it. Right.
No, right. It's sat on the shelf.
Because I asked a couple, you know, I asked the question on our Facebook page, you know.
And what would they say?
A lot of them said, you know, since it came out, you know, I think one person replied like 2 years ago, you know. So it was really interesting to see, you know, people, say when the last time. And most of them said it was, you know, then, when it first came out.
Right. that's like, you know, like I said, like the gold standard is rock right. show, right?
And absolutely.
If they could all be like rock show, back in the US, the space within us, this, if they could all be like rock show, we wouldn't be talking about it, because it's that's a concert film.
That is
a concert film. This is not.
Right.
So this is history, concert, fandom, everything involved in this thing. It's just,
it's a very busy DVD, just like that In the World Tonight DVD was.
No, Space Within Us.
Well, no, the one that, what was the one that was in Flaming Pie? That was The World Tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that was just a documentary.
Yeah, documentary, but it was a very busy one. I mean, there was a lot going on. I mean, you had Paul just doing multiple things.
Yeah, like the animated stuff.
That's what I'm saying. So there's a lot of kind of like that stuff too. I mean, just his experience.
I don't want it to be as busy as these kind of films, though. Personally.
Okay, fair enough. But, you know, what I took away is really a lot of these, you know, a lot of the Russian people, what their experience, you know, in the 60s, what they had to deal with, you know.
That was fascinating. History perspective, it's great. And it's like, you almost wish that, like, it should be three films. Like, make a film on Beatles fandom for people in Russia in the 60s. Right. Make that a film or a separate or a bonus feature.
Mm-hmm.
Have the concert proper, and then maybe have a bonus section of Paul's experiences, but we don't get that. It's all three elements sandwiched into
rolled in one
film.
Exactly.
It's too much.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. I mean, because, you know, you look at it, you hear the people, you hear the story of, you know, what Russians were going through, that we were, you know, the Beatles music was considered alien propaganda. Yeah. You know,
Western.
It was freedom. It was capitalism. It was everything communism was against, you know. Yeah. So, you know, obviously that stuff was banned. You know, really interesting insights of what they had to go through. You know, you had some Russian musicians, you had some historians on there talking about it. You know, they were talking about how if you bought a Beatles bootleg, let's say you had a monthly wage of like 150 rubles.
That was fascinating. And one record cost was half. If a guy made 150 rubles a month, an album cost about 75 or 80
rubles,
something like that.
Which
is, but he said people bought the records.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is when you think about how we just take it for granted. We buy a record for $10, $20 and we get it.
Right.
The struggle to get the music. I'm going to be honest here. I actually enjoy watching the fandom part of this film and the Russian experience better than the concert.
Probably. Yeah, I would say that. Yeah. I mean, there's more to learn. It was really interesting.
It was. I mean, and as far as you watch in there, and like they were getting x-rays and they were taking x-rays and cutting and out of x-rays, cutting records out of x-rays to get them brought into the country. Right. You know, that was just fascinating. I mean, throughout the whole
thing. I mean, if you're a DJ and you played a Beatles song, you could get fired. You know,
like the guy said in the film, if you went to a
show
and Beatles music was being played, you could get arrested.
Exactly. There's consequences, you know, from listening to, you know, rock and roll general, but you know, Beatles as well.
It's unbelievable to think about it.
Then my other favorite part was a gentleman holding up the Band on the Run album.
Yes.
The first official McCartney release in Russia. And Band on the Run, the song itself taken off.
Was taken off because they thought the subject matter was too...
Right. Prison and on the run, escaping.
So they took that off. But did you see what they replaced it with on the cover?
No. What was it?
If you look at the cover, if you paused it, because I did see that. We're watching it. Okay. It took it off. The first song on the album of that is Silly Love Songs. So he throws Silly Love Songs to replace Band on the Run.
Right.
The first official. But then there was another guy that actually had held up a copy of like the first McCartney solo album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just had some notes here. Like on top of the record, the record had, you know, the Ministry of Culture has sanctioned this record, you know.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was really cool seeing some Russian bootlegs of Beatle albums from them. I mean, all they had was pictures, really. You know, they didn't know who Lennon was. They didn't know who McCartney was.
Oh, they knew who Lennon was.
Well, yeah, true. I was wondering if that was going to come up. But they definitely knew who Lennon was. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, think, you know, the whole... Western musicians going into Russia. I mean, let's go back to as far as even with Paul himself putting out an album just for Russia with the Russian album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Western music, Billy Joel famously went to Russia.
Yeah, Elton John.
Elton John did in 79. He played in Moscow. Billy went there in, I think, in 86. And Billy released a live album himself. So, you know, it's obviously, it was a trend that Western musicians were going there. But, it's funny, just the back of the notes here. The Beatles, Paul, John, George, and Ringo have done more for the fall of communism than any other Western institution.
Right.
And that was Trotsky, the author and the sociologist who's featured prominently in the documentary.
So I don't know. Yeah, that's another thing that I kind of was scuffled at, too, was you notice quite a few times when the historian or musicians are talking, they would say Paul McCartney and the Beatles. You know, I mean, but you figure they're doing this because it's part of a Paul McCartney DVD, but I didn't really care for that too much. It's the Beatles.
The Beatles. You know, I get it. But you gotta, he's coming there. He's playing.
Right.
You know, one of the cooler aspects I enjoy of the film, you know, aside from the busyness with the crowd shots and the cutting was the panning shots when you'd see the crowd as a whole panning out over.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
Those are cool. You know, it's an outdoor gig, you know, you don't see too many Paul concerts get an official release that have an outdoor venue like that, you know, outside. And the show starts, you know, at dusk and it's night. You can see the sun a little bit and then it goes to nighttime. That's cool. I mean, the Good Evening New York City was also outside. I was there.
But
it's nice to see that, especially in Red Square, as Paul talks about seeing all those buildings that he only ever saw in films.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Another thing, too, that was just really weird is how, you know, Paul McCartney is talking. He's coming to Russia. And then it just says, again, something that I just didn't care for. He says he felt like he's coming home. You know what I mean? It's just really weird how he just felt like, you know, because he had all of this experience or whatnot. Because he wrote you back in the USSR, he felt like he had this feeling of he was coming home when he dropped down and, you know, when he landed in Russia or Moscow or whatever it was that he landed. But it was just really weird for him to say something like that. He goes, "Oh, I don't understand it, but I just feel like I'm coming home." You know, it's just really weird. I don't know if
statement. No, but that's Macca just playing to the audience.
Right. Right.
You know, and then there was a nice little scene there with David Frost where they were talking.
Oh, yeah. They showed him. Yep.
David Frost, and that the Beatles did land in Moscow temporarily in 66, but they didn't get off the plane or something like that.
Right. They could have done a real quick show and then, hop back.
Well, listen, after the Philippines, all bets were off.
All bets were off. Yeah, best to just stay on the plane, huh?
I mean, listen, after the Philippines, forget it. They weren't going to take any chances in any hostile,
hostile environment.
Hostile territories, but, Paul concert films have been, they've been marred with this production that, we're going to talk about. And just in terms of is it just are we watching the songs or are we watching a concert or are we watching fans reacting to a concert or is it something else? And there's all that going on in this film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's trying to be everything.
It is.
And it's not.
It's not. No. And then, so let's now just talk about for a few minutes about what Paul was doing while he was in, also experiencing things, because it's just so much. I mean, he's meeting all these dignitary people. Mikhail Gorbachev, Sergei Ivanov, Russian defense. He's meeting Putin. I mean, he's there, and then you got the Heather Factor right there. She's in there with Putin too, talking about the landmines.
No more landmines, baby.
Remember when he was preaching those practices?
Oh yeah, preach, baby. Yeah. I wonder if he'd wear any one of those shirts in concert again. Now. No.
There's also some nice touching moments too. He spends some time with the choir, these young musicians or choir singers there. I think they performed yesterday for him, which was really nice. Then he gets to spend time with some young musicians.
That was cool.
That was really cool. And he gets an honorary doctorate, again, he visits the Hermitage Museum. Visits children and an orphanage. He sets up new charity there. Oh. So again, it's just
it's
thing after another.
Everything too much in this one. What a nice scene too is there. He meets a guy I think who's just a fan, and you can see how much he's touched by his music, and he just gives him a hug.
Yeah. He was one of the speakers in the
documentary. Yeah. So when you realize the struggle that these people went to and the lengths and the risks that they took to hear this music. And now here's this person coming to see them. That's pretty heartwarming.
Absolutely.
Again, the concert aside, to see that part of it, but then again, it juxtaposed with everything else in the film. Now, cut to Penny Lane.
Right. It's you're dealing with three things interweaving all at the same time. You're getting, and then you go to the film. I'm sorry, not the film, but the actual concert. Some of these are, you're only getting a couple minutes of them. You're not getting the full song.
A lot of them are edited. You're getting edited. Like She's Leaving Home is edited.
Better was edited as
that
well.
That was edited too.
Man so on the Run.
Edited. So between edited live songs, 30 cuts on the camera in between those songs, it's so visually distracting to watch that. Either make it all the crowd, and that really kind of started with the Paul McCartney's Get Back film, really.
Right.
The kind of chronicling the Flowers tour, where we're going to cut to everybody, going crazy to Live and Let Die. And
some of those cutting to the crowd in Russia was pretty interesting, because there's some times where they're just, still watching, there's some other moments where they're just, they're going crazy. Obviously you got the couples dancing or you'll have the old guy tearing up,
Right.
The standard stuff that you'll see in a lot of McCartney
concert, these concert films. Yeah. And it's just listen, you've got these tremendous camera, again, for a more recent film, go watch The Concert for George. Go watch that.
Yeah,
you're not seeing the director's cut to anybody at the Royal Albert Hall. Those cameras are on the stage. And
And rightfully so.
And rightfully. Now, listen, that was an all-star event, but this is not. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
You know, so it's a shortcoming of Paul's concert films. It's just, you know, and I love how all of them have that tagline, a concert film.
Film.
Is it?
Right.
You know, yeah. The only person in Red Square who wasn't moved was Lennon. Oh, okay. You know, so, you know, it's a feel good thing, but if you're wanting to watch it, to watch a concert, this is not it.
That's not it. That's exactly that. That's definitely not it. Let's just talk about the band and Paul. I mean, Paul is still in somewhat decent voice. You can tell a little bit of decline happening in his voice in a couple tracks. You can really tell that the band really coming in with backing vocals, you know, on a lot of songs, where else there was no backing vocals originally, you know, to kind of help or cover with Paul's, you know, to vocals. What did you think of Paul singing?
I thought I didn't really kind of detect any really noticeable steep incline. I mean, I had seen him for the first time ever live a year before this in 2002. Right. So, and to me, this is just an extension of the Back in the U.S., Back in the World tour, which is really what this was.
Right.
Which was of 02 and 03. This is just towards the back end of the 03. So obviously this is still the first full tour for the band, you know, with Rusty and Abe. And you can already tell that the chemistry was already there between the
band. Absolutely. Right.
And they were only together for a few years only by this point. I mean, it's over 20 years now, or it's 20 years this year, actually.
Right.
But it's incredible. I mean, they're all, you know, they're all great. And it's, you know, Abe doing his thing. But I thought the band was in fine shape. They always are.
Right.
Just a great set list. And a rare inclusion of two of us in this show.
Right. Yeah. So set list was actually, I mean, very Beatle heavy.
Of course.
I mean, at this point in time, I think starting in 2002, well, actually, even with the Flowers in the Dirt tour, I mean, is really taking hold of that Beatles card, you know, and just going.
You had a couple more wings songs in Flowers in the Dirt tripping.
Right. This right. Thing. But man, I mean, you're looking at over 20 Beatles songs.
Yeah.
I mean, you did 38 songs. I mean, the last seven songs alone were Beatles songs. You know, I'm looking at the full soundtrack right now.
You're looking at the full set list
right now, you know, and I mean, he does Back in the USSR twice, you know, which was, you know, obviously, you know, pretty cool. I'm sure it was really cool for that night, you know, being where they were, you know. And actually, in all reality, the last nine songs were Beatles songs.
Yeah, one, two, you know, three. Yeah, yeah. You
know, so
they really were, but of course, they truncated it down for this release, and
right.
You know,
and I don't know what the pyrotechnics, the law was for being outside in a show in Russia, but man, they were really lackluster. I mean, they weren't really anywhere near as exciting as when I've seen them here, you know.
Oh, sure, outside, yeah. You know, do it that way, but
so, but
yeah, Beatle heavy set list, but you knew it was going to be. It was a Beatle coming to the play there. So
exactly. So, and that's when a lot of them, you know, that's what a lot of them know. They want those Beatles.
And I understand that. You're not going to get a heavy Paul show there. You're going to hear maybe I'm Amazed, which we do. Live and Let Die, and then on this commercial release, what do we get? We get maybe I'm Amazed.
You also got Calico Skies.
Calico Skies, you know, works right, in
every
there.
Night. You know,
every night. It's not too many, and of course, Someone's Knocking on the Door, as it's credited.
Yes, that's really funny. So yeah, if you open it up and you turn to the back, for Let 'Em In, it's titled Someone's Knocking.
It just says Someone's Knocking. So you know, somebody didn't do a little quality control on this one.
Right, exactly. And then Paul does the song Things We Said Today on the concert film. However, they got it listed as Every Little Thing here in the booklet. So yeah, a couple oops.
There's a Beatles song he hasn't done live yet.
Exactly.
He hasn't done Every Little Thing.
No.
He's done most, but he hasn't done that one.
Has he done All You Need Is Love live?
He did it at the party at the Palace in 2002 for the Queen's 75th Jubilee.
Yeah, because I'm surprised he hasn't taken that on a tour, you know, as a little tribute to.
Have you seen him do it? Have you seen him do it at the Palace?
If they televised that, I might have.
He did. Well, it's kind of like everybody. It's yeah. him. It's Ozzy Osbourne, Brian Wilson on stage. Everybody right. doing it. But he is taking the lead, and he is singing John's part, right. which is pretty cool. It is the Jubilee. Was it 50 or 75? I can't remember now. The Queen's Jubilee in 2002. That would have been 50 years. So 50 okay. years. That's not All 75. Right. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Because yeah, 52. And I only know this because I'm watching The Crown, people.
Right.
I'm watching The Crown right now, so I know. Yeah, so it would have been the Jubilee. But yeah, Paul does a good version of All You Need Is Love. It closes that. It closes okay. that show. But you cool. would think he would have done a little more of that. Good point.
Right, right, right. So I'm guessing when you're watching it and you see, you know, Paul, you know, meeting all the distinguished people.
The like dignitaries.
Yeah. But then, you know, when he, I'm thinking that this is, both of the trips were filmed and put on here. The one from St. Petersburg. And Russia. So both experiences, both trips were also meshed in into this to this set
film.
As well.
Yeah. 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 Oh, into the, yeah, absolutely. Everything.
Because
so.
I mean it didn't come out till 2005. Five. So both of them were already
done. You know, and by that filmed. Point, he was already on the yeah. precipice of another new tour and an album right. and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was really curious because I was hoping to get somebody that was involved with this on the show. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But I mean, this is a lot of questions. Like, at one point, did they know after these two shows that they were going to make, you know,
or this, did they know this, documentary this going into or, it that they were going to
exactly?
It was always going to be something that they were going to do. I've got to right. think that a show in Moss first time. That had to be a
pre-planned. Oh, you knew that was going to be documented. Absolutely.
Right. And was there going to be plans to release? And I'm sure that was always going to be in the pipeline. But, right. you know, really some of the better parts of the film was like him just riding his bike, saying hello to people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And getting he's like, in oh. trouble. I guess yeah. he didn't know that some of the parts of Rescuer you're not supposed to cycle in.
Yeah. Oh, the bicycle police are after me now. Right. You know? So those kind of little innocent parts of the film are enjoyable.
Right.
That and the historical context of the, you know, seeing the Russian fans' perspective.
Right. Yeah. And then you hear him talking about, you know, Putin, talking about how popular he was. You know, they talk about how, you know, he comes in during while Paul's doing, you know, Calico Skies. And, you know, I don't know how I feel, you know, whatever. I'm sure he was a really popular person at first. I don't know how if he's still popular now, you know, but I'm just curious if Paul feels the same way about him now as he did
back then.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And like I think he's talking to Gorbachev and there's a translator there.
Right.
Like,
yes.
You know, he gives him the book and he's like, yeah. you know, it's not the first time I've been here. And then he waits and then the person translates and says it to him. It's gotta be painfully awkward. Just like you're standing there smiling. What did he say? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's a pro at those kind of things.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, he is. He is.
So, but yeah, I mean, all in all, I don't think it's terrible. You know, but those quick cuts, I mean, those just really just.
No consistency. And that's, yeah. you wanna know why it sat on my shelf for the last 12 years? That's why. Until my co-host said, oh, we want to review Red Square. I'm like, oh, better dust this thing off.
But it's just like quick. You're talking like 2 second quick. You know, 2 seconds here, 2 seconds here. I mean, it's just bam, bam, bam. Like you know, you've got like 6, 7 cameras, and you're just cutting back into forth with all six of them. You know, and it's tiring. You get dizzy just watching.
It does, and it's less is more.
Yes,
less. If there's a lesson to be made here, young filmmakers of America, of which I know many. Less is more.
Now, I don't mind cuts to the crowd. From the crowd.
Don't do it during the song.
Right. Yeah, do it in between. Like, I don't mind I don't mind the quick shot of the hot girl singing for 2 seconds, you know, seeing her sing, you know, a lyric to what Paul's singing. Like, you know, if he's singing My Love or whatever.
Or My Lovin' or something.
Or My Lovin', and you get the cute girl singing along with it for 2 seconds. That's fine. You know, but then.
But then banned, yeah, and then shot exactly. to an old guy crying.
Right.
Banned. Shot to some young girl going crazy.
Some 3-year-old knows all the lyrics to the song. You know, it's just. You know, whatever,
which is cool, but it's
but further and farther between, you know, it doesn't need to be so
or like, you know,
rapid.
Or and again, his live releases, whether it's albums or films, are really devoid of any of the in-between banter with the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And that would really be if you're watching a proper film, like, again, I'm going to reference Rock Show.
Right.
It, you know, when the musicians are changing guitars or they're tuning up for the next song,
right?
And give me a pan of the crowd, give me a close up of a couple of people. But he's not singing, so they're not going to do that. No, they want right. to catch the people going gaga. I get it. For this moment in time to show the Russian people celebrating that, this is the one release where I would be okay with that because of the historical aspect of it.
Right, right.
You know, Paul's live, Get Back. Space Within Us, Back in the U.S., none of those cuts are necessary.
Mm. Oh, I tend to agree with you. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the bonus features on the DVD set then is part of the St. Petersburg show. So you get, you know, so then again, now you get this, and it's about probably 40 minutes or so, maybe an hour. And again, you get this little bit, you know, 10-minute intro of, you know, Paul, you know, arriving and whatnot. And then it goes into the show, and then it's actually then now it's just a show. You know, it's really not.
Right.
It's not like another documentary inside of a concert film, you know what I'm saying? So all of that is like at the beginning, and then once the show gets started, and then so it's an edited down version of the St. Petersburg show. Now, the one cool thing about this is the fact that he does I've Got a Feeling.
Yeah.
Which was definitely a highlight for me. Just
sure.
like Two of Us was a highlight for the Red
yeah,
Square.
You and know. And then of course Flaming Pie comes out, and these are songs that really hadn't gotten too many airings before. I want to say too, Helter Skelter being played might have been the first time he played it live.
We
have to look back at the live database because that really Helter Skelter, this might have been the first time he dusted it off to play it. I don't know because I don't recall it being a regular song in the O2. Back in the U.S. tour, so maybe Helter Skelter. That's pretty significant. I mean, it's a staple now,
right?
Although it's so different now, you know, coming down fast. No.
Right.
They can't do it like 1968. Come on.
So then you also get this. It's a little featurette, which is kind of like a timeline of Russia and the Beatles throughout the 60s, you know, which was also kind of interesting. I think that was done by the History Channel, so that's included on there. And
Tom, you're right, it might have been a History Channel thing, because I mean it says A&E Film, but you got the History Channel logo on here, so they probably were, you know, I don't know if the A&E owns the History Channel now,
so I don't know if A&E distributed it on DVD and it was a part of History Channel. I just don't remember, you know, and I can't find any information on that,
you know, either. But probably was the History Channel did have there that part of it to do the timeline and make that, but maybe A&E was the distributor, maybe.
Right. But I mean, but it makes sense. I mean, A&E, you know, is into that kind of stuff. And then obviously History Channel is, you know, the History Channel being the History Channel, you would also expect, you know, this being on that as well.
Yeah. You know? So. Nice to see. Very interesting to see, too, in the credits, too, when you look under the music produced by David Kahn, who still was
so
involved,
music,
you know?
Yeah, the music was produced, or the you know, the music from the DVD was produced, I mean, from David Kahn. So, yeah, absolutely. So he's still working with David Kahn after Driving Rain at this point. So,
you know, and I've obviously paired back up with him again for Memory Almost Full.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's, you know, that was, it took the break in between. But, DVD features... the bonus concert, Petersburg, Behind the Curtain, Memories from Red Square. a featurette from the History Channel, Russia and the Beatles, a brief journey, song selection, and more. So, you know, your standard DVD, you probably can't even buy this anymore now, right?
Yeah, you're probably looking at, you know, actually, you know, to be honest with you, I had it originally. I got rid of it.
Did you really?
Oh, I got rid of it. I had to rebuy it.
Well, when you say got rid of it, what'd you do? Sell it? What'd you do?
I probably took it to a record store and got credit for it and bought something else.
So you're not like me. You don't buy and hold on to it for decades. You buy whatever the
newest thing is. Some things I will. I mean, obviously, I've got things that I've had for decades, you know, but again,
with the CDs though, like you don't keep old versions of the CD.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You just keep the most modern, and that's it.
Like that 93 copy of Back to the Egg that I had last night when we're doing the rankings. As soon as the archive comes out, that's gone. That 93 is gone.
Why would you do that?
Well, why? If it's an inferior copy, why do I need it?
For history reasons. For history. For history, you know, you want to know, like that.
If the sound quality is inferior to the 93 version, I mean, I'll never play it again.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean.
I understand that, and I'm gonna be honest. You know, I got all them over sitting here. I haven't touched them.
I know you do,
but I think that there's, I don't know, history tying to those things. I mean, like keeping a collection, like I don't know, but you just like to get the best sounding product, and that's your go-to.
Okay. That's my go-to. Now
I respect it.
Yeah. So I mean, that's just how.
But
I am.
So you had to rebuy this. Where did you get it?
Yeah. Take a guess.
eBay. Yes. Stalker.
No, actually, no. My local Zia Records that's like my go-to record store.
Oh, they had.
Yeah, they had it. So I called them up. I said, hey, you guys got a copy? And I was just able to go there and pick it up. So yeah,
$20?
$5.99.
Oh, even better. See, yeah, now, something like this won't get this won't probably get Blu-ray treatment, we don't think.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it would be cool. I mean, it was filmed on film, so it wasn't filmed on video, I don't believe. So you can definitely transfer it to HD and put it on Blu-ray.
No, but why would you? But I got to give you credit. You know, I'm glad that you came up with a topic to review this, because if you didn't, it's still be sitting on that shelf.
Exactly.
So it gives me a reason to go, you know, like when we months ago when we did the McCartney years, and that one I grab a little more often.
See, now that one I've had, I've always kept that because it's just more, interesting.
That's a lot of the videos, but I mean, a concert film, you know, you don't grab it all the time. You just don't.
So here's the thing. Like if you had, let's say you had Rock Show on VHS or Laserdisc. Okay.
Yeah.
We know those. That's not the complete show.
No.
So for me, if Rock Show came out a couple years ago when Wings Over America archive
and
it got a Blu-ray release, why would I hold on to that VHS and Laserdisc copy? You know what I mean? I mean, I would never play that again. Yeah, I understand your point. It's a historical, you know, purposes, but for me, it's
they become collector's items. I mean, people will want those things.
No, that is true. That is very true. I mean, you'll see some Laserdiscs up there in price, you know, especially like the Criterion Laserdisc.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
Can get, you know, demand a pretty penny. But, you know, even VHSs, some of them, you know, are not. But I just look at it as something that's taking up space, that something new could go.
I get that. Yeah, there's always two, you know, multiple ways to skin a cat.
Exactly.
You, you know, so if you like, you know, the fandom and the collecting aspect of it, you know, why?
But in a way, I'm glad I got it again, because I completely forgot all of this. You know, I completely forgot all about the, you know, the Russian history, you know, what people went through, you know, so I'm kind of glad that I've watched it, and I watched it twice actually. And,
did you?
You know, so now it'll go back on the shelf for, you know,
and if anybody out
15
there,
years
right, if anybody out there hasn't seen it, you know, it's worth a one. If you got a Saturday afternoon and you want to throw it in, it's good for a one-time watch, you know, to watch it, but it's not going to be something you're going to gravitate to and watch multiple times.
No, you'll learn something. You might get annoyed at a few bits and pieces.
But, like, I'm sure you and I, we've grabbed Bruce McMouse or the bonus video from the Red Rose Speedway box set a hell of a lot more than we've touched.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And that's just a fact.
Right. Mm-hmm. That is. Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, but it would be interesting. You know, we've gotten since this, you know, we got Good Evening. We got Good Evening New York City is alive. And I think, is that his last one?
The most recent one.
It would have been Good Evening New York City. Would have been the last live concert film.
No kisses on the bottom.
Well, concert.
Okay.
Film.
Yeah. Okay.
Concert, gotcha. but live kisses.
Right.
Live kisses. In the studio, which I actually just watched a few weeks ago, which is good too. Which we're going to do on a future episode.
Exactly. Yes.
Coming up in a few weeks on that, but I think. Space Within Us 205, Good Evening New York City, and then nothing really, I don't think, which is a shame because those tours of like 13 and 14 had some really, really great set lists. And you saw them then, and I did too.
Yeah, for new. Yeah, absolutely.
For new. And it's too bad we didn't get nothing live. And, you know, maybe given the situation now, if he's not going to tour anymore, let's hope that doesn't happen. Maybe that gives the MPL the impetus to issue a live recording of maybe one of his last tours, if that ends up being the case.
Yeah, I don't know if I see that happening at this point. If anything, I'm sure we'll get some past live recording. I don't see anything from the last 10 years live. No, I don't see anything from the last 10 years being released.
That's a shame.
You know, live-wise, concert-wise.
Because he really, over the last 10 years, has really varied it up, you know,
But I just think there's just been so much. I really do think that Paul's team pays attention to what people say. In the last 10 years, what have we been saying, really?
Archive.
His voice. His live voice is just shot, for the most part.
Oh, so nobody wants to hear those live recordings?
I don't think people do. You do, you know, let us know. And if you don't, let us know. But...
You think this was the start of it starting to go?
I do. I think I could notice during the Driving Rain album, his voice not being, you know, and understandably so.
Did you see him in 02 or 03?
No. After 93, I didn't see him again until 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I saw him in 02, and I wasn't like, oh, his voice.
I've seen a lot of that I've seen a lot of that footage, and I think he sounds great actually on that tour.
Yeah, I think he's fine. I don't think it starts to happen until, you know, the last, you know, I would say after 2009 or 10.
Right. Because I say that because basically if you watch him, if you listen to him do Calico Skies on this DVD, he's not singing it like he sings, you know, it's not that true falsetto voice that he does on Flaming Pie. I mean, his voice is really weird the way he sings Calico Skies.
He's never performed it like that gentle, tender acoustic ballad that it is on Flaming Pie.
No, and I don't know if he can do it.
I actually think that that's more of a little subconscious thing with him. I think he can't do it that way because it's such a tender Flaming Pie arrangement. It's such an emotional song tied to Linda. He actually probably can't. So he actually spice it up with the drums and you got Wixed on the accordion. So he makes it a little,
Yeah, I can understand him doing that song in Russia because of the last verse of, all the weapons of war we despise.
Yeah.
You know, that part makes sense to me of him doing it in Russia. But, sure. If you can't sing it the way,
Why do it? Yeah,
exactly.
Very true. Very true. But very Beatle heavy, but we knew it was going to be to do that for the Russian people that were there watching it.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
So, this is capturing McCartney really at the beginning of his kind of later half of his live touring career. You know, he really, because he's been so prolific over the last 20 years. So this is a nice capsule in time looking at, okay, he comes back, hits the road ground running in April of 2002. And here's this show from May of 2003.
Right.
So it really is kind of capturing McCartney at that point in time of, okay, he's touring for the first time, really big time. And he goes to Russia and does a show, you know? So, you know, you get, it's a mixed bag, but I'm happy that I was, I revisited it for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I will, we're going to revisit, we'll probably revisit, end up revisiting all of these DVDs, you know,
yep,
you know, throughout the years to come. So, you know, dust them off, people. Let's give them another view.
Yeah. Dust them off. Get them ready.
Right. Yeah.
Get them ready. But it's a good reason. It's a good exercise to do it, to check these things out. I mean, yeah, while we're still living in this, you know,
yeah,
COVID madness, you know.
Watch, exactly.
I mean, throw a film on and check it out. And Tom is like the master film person. He's got, he's a yeah, film buff of like the highest quality there.
Right. So
him and his Criterion collection.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only own one Criterion. You want to guess which one it is?
Hard Day's Night.
Yeah. I am going to pick your brain on which ones you think I should, which ones are worth getting though. Cause you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. How do you feel about foreign films?
Like foreign, like in like another language, foreign film.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Nah. Well, yeah. I haven't really.
Have you ever watched a foreign film?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you recall, I have.
Do you remember what it was?
A Japanese one in college, I think.
Okay.
Is
it Seven Samurai?
No, from like the '40s or something. Yojimbo or something.
Yojimbo,
like
yeah, yeah.
Yojimbo.
Akira Kurosawa, yeah.
That.
Akira Kurosawa.
Yeah.
Toshirô Mifune, yes.
Yes.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You like those?
Oh, yeah. Those two were the Scorsese De Niro of the '40s and fifties.
Okay. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. Akira Kurosawa and Toshirô Mifune. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I'm glad I asked.
Yeah. Yojimbo's excellent. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that's just, I know a lot of people, I know we're off topic here, but I know some people just
think we've covered it.
Because you're actually reading, you know, you're reading instead of just watching. So,
yeah.
So I know some people don't really care for that so much, but
no. But listen, it's still out there. There's plenty of physical media still available. I know we're in a streaming world now, but yeah, you know, when the internet, if the internet goes ever dark and you can't connect to stream anything, you've got lovely physical media, you know.
And then going back to the DVD, I mean, that's how a lot of Russians learned English, was through Beatles songs.
Through Beatles songs, yeah,
you know.
It's amazing. You can like they can learn English through that, and then it's,
right,
you know.
And here we are. We just don't even care.
No. <know? laughs> No. They don't care at all.
Right. Us ugly Americans. Yes.
Oh yeah, Yanks.
Yeah, Yanks. Yes. Anyways, so great. Okay, so this was a cool look back. I mean, what would you, you know, would you grade this with anything, or what would you think?
The historical, listen, the film made the camera work aside, which is so just tough to get through. I would grade this thing probably I would give this one a B plus.
Okay. Okay.
You?
Yeah, probably in that area. Maybe a B minus.
Maybe B minus. Just because there's so many other elements in it, and it should just be.
Right,
one or the other, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could. Give me a half hour with the Russians. Give me a half hour of what Paul was doing, and you know,
give me the show. Right? Yeah, yeah. I would probably lean. Actually, more thinking about it, I'll agree with you. Go with a B minus. Yeah. But for the historical aspect of the film alone, it should be watched by all McCartney fans, just to see it if you haven't seen it, just to see those Russian fans, like their face
light up. Yeah,
that's worth every part of it. It really is. And that's I enjoy that part of the film more than the music. I really do.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I know the music.
Right, we know the set list. We know the banter in between the songs. We know all that crap. Mm. But seeing it from a humanistic aspect, and seeing people and like I said, the great lengths and risks that they did to listen to this music to get it.
Right.
And then here's this guy coming to their doorstep, you know, 30 years later. This is incredible. Right.
Very true, my friend. Very true. All right, cool. Well, that was our look at Paul McCartney in Red Square, the DVD. I definitely say if you haven't watched it in a while, go ahead, pull this sucker out, throw it in the DVD player or the Blu-ray player, whatever you got, and just give it another watch. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, well, if you have it, seek it
Yeah.
out, check it out. If you've seen it, let us know what you think about it
Yeah.
in our lovely channel, which Tom will tell you about.
Yeah. So yeah, check out our YouTube channel. We're really trying to get that get more subscribers on our YouTube channel. It's going good lately. So it's Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. Please check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're going to continue the I can't speak. We're going to continue
Yes, you
doing
can.
our we're going to continue doing our ranking the tracks every Wednesday. Usually 9 p.m.
Sorry.
However, yeah, unfortunately, the last one we had to wait a little bit, but that's understandable. It's going to happen from
But we
time to
listen, we
time.
had, but we still, we did a 10:30 start and we still
Yeah.
had our usuals all popping in there. So
Yeah, that
thank
was no.
you.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. So for all of you guys that are checking in on us and leaving your comments, we really appreciate it. We try to get to as many as we can, and we're having a lot of fun with this. I love seeing everybody's rankings for
It's
these albums.
yeah, and the ones that agree with us, the ones that disagree with us,
Yes.
we dig it.
Yeah.
It has been such a great side venture, excuse me, to
Right.
do it and tackle that. Then Tom came up with this a few months ago, and
Yeah.
it's really kind of caught fire, and we
Yeah.
really enjoy it. We had a couple issues there for a few weeks. We couldn't do it on YouTube. That's
Right.
been resolved, and Tom will always kind of post when we're going to do it, and it's on YouTube, and we're going to go through the whole canon, the main canon, as we finish it. And already we finished the 70s albums. We're done.
Yeah. Well, we finished the 70s. Now we're gonna go back and we're gonna rank all of the non-album A sides and B sides. All the
And
songs that were,
that'll be a longer
yeah.
episode because we've got 20 something tracks to get through.
22 tracks, I believe it was. Yeah, absolutely.
That's going to
So,
be that'll be very interesting. We were very different with Back to the Egg. We were very different with
yes,
London Town. We'll probably
London Town, right?
be very different with this one too.
Yeah. So, yeah,
Although
just a quick
I think we're going to have the
got
same
it done
number.
right there.
I think we're going to
Yeah.
have the same number one. I think we are. I do. I think we will.
Okay.
I think we should, I think.
I don't know. I kind of hope we don't.
I do too, but we might. We'll see.
Right. Well,
We've been
it's a
close. We've been close. Like last night, it was
yeah.
reversed. It was
Where it was
reversed.
reversed. Yeah, one and two were reversed. So that was
Yeah.
fun. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, so check that out, please. We really appreciate it. For everybody listening to our audio shows, if you're listening to iTunes, please give us a review. If you like the show, give us a 5-star review. That'll help out the show. Email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Two Legs Podcast. And oh yeah, website Two Legs Podcast at dot com. Yeah,
Dot
dot
com.
com. That just that simple. Just that simple. Twolegspodcast.com. Andy put together for us a few months ago. It looks great. And you'll find a lot of our tweets there. You'll find all of our latest episodes there. It'll
Links to
link
all
you
of our
link
stuff.
yeah, link you right to
It's
the
nothing.
YouTube.
It's nothing crazy. I don't do web design that much. Thank you very much to
Right.
Ethan, who helps us out with the layout and a little bit on there. But it's if
Yes.
you want our audio versions on there, our video
Yeah.
versions, our links are on YouTube and the Twitter feeds on there, and all of our contact info
Yes.
and the site. It's nothing crazy, but it's just a site where you can kind of reach us if you want to look to a website too.
Yeah, I want to give a couple shout outs real quick here before we sign off, and let me find them. I want to give a shout out to my friend John Bazzini. He does the Beatles in Print Together and Solo Facebook page. If you're a fan of Beatle books and solo Beatles books,
Like me.
head over to his Facebook page and please like the page. You're gonna get updated on all these new books. He's gonna whip out old books that you've probably never seen before. He's gonna whip out books that you probably completely forgot about. So he does a lot of really cool things on that page. So check that out. That's called Beatles in Print Together and Solo. And I want to also give a shout out to my boy Harry Benson over at at the Paul McCartney and Wings fan appreciation group. Both of these guys, both of these pages, they allow me to post these episodes to promote them on their pages. So they don't have to do that. So it's really nice of them.
Thank you guys.
To let us do that. So
thank you. Seriously.
I want to show them some appreciation and say thanks to you guys. So please check out those pages. That's Beatles Imprint Together and Solo and Beatles and Wings Fan Appreciation Group. So check those out and like them. So Andy, anything you want to add before we sign out of here, my friend?
Not much. Just thanks for everybody for watching and continue to support us and hopping on when we do our lives. And we're going to keep doing those lives. And even when we finish the main albums, we'll do other live stuff. So
We're going to continue the live thing.
The YouTube growth has been great. We've been up for over a year now, and we're at 425, I think, subscribers.
419, I think.
Something like that. So thank you, and we're on our way. And again, the thumbnails are great. So that's Ethan Alexanian, who is just a great talent and a great friend to us. And he is just so talented with those thumbnails, and he really makes the episodes pop. So thank you, Ethan.
Great. Okay, so that's a wrap for this week. Stay tuned next week. We're gonna have our buddy Joe Mayo on the show, and we're gonna talk about collecting McCartney 3. So stay tuned for that. So everybody, once again out there, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care.
Bye.